In the year 1205, Saint Francis of Assisi, after having been wounded in battle, after being captured, spent a year as prisoner, after having returned to Assisi, but having lost all interest in the kind of life that he was leading, as he walked in the fields by Assisi, he saw an abandoned chapel, San Damiano, St. Damien. He felt the urge to go inside and pray. He went, and as he knelt by a crucifix, he heard Jesus speak to him and say, "Francis, repair my church, which is in ruins." He understood that call to repair the church of San Damiano. So he gathered some of his friends and stone by stone, brick by brick, began to repair that church, that chapel. But then he understood that God was calling him to repair not just a small chapel, but indeed the whole church. Not just a building, but indeed to restore the identity of the universal church. And that's how he began his mission, to preach conversion and holiness, to return to poverty, to love, to the authenticity of the gospel. In a way, today's first reading presents a similar situation. The people of Israel had returned to Jerusalem after years of exile. They were ecstatic at the newfound freedom, but they found Jerusalem in ruins. The temple destroyed. The walls had also been lost. So they felt the urge to rebuild, to repair Jerusalem, repair the temple, repair the whole kingdom of Israel. And they began to build. They built the walls, first of all. A city without walls in those days could not survive. It would be subject to pillage and attacks by marauding bandits or by enemies. So they rebuilt the walls and the ramparts. They restored the temple, but something else was missing. It was their identity, their soul. They didn't know anymore who they were. And that's why Ezra and Nehemiah convened an assembly of all the people of Israel, men, women, and children old enough to understand. And they read to them the book of the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Gospel, the Pentateuch. They read from morning till midday. They were assembled in a large patio area by the door of Jerusalem, and people prostrated themselves and cried out amen at every passage. They cried with sadness because of their misery, because of years of slavery. They cried because their sins had caused this tragedy, but they also cried with joy because finally they were finding again who they were. They were remembering their identity. We are the keepers of the word of God. We are the ones that have been called to be the chosen people, the people in a covenant with God. By hearing that word, the word of God proclaimed, they found who they were. They cried. Then Ezra and Nehemiah said to them, "Do not cry, rejoice. Today is a great celebration because the Lord has restored us, has given us back our identity." Well, a liturgy of the word, that's what they were doing. Fast forward now 500 years later, and we have another liturgy of the word, and this is in a synagogue in Nazareth, and they call Jesus to proclaim the word. Jesus had already gained some notoriety because of his healings and preaching. And so, as he got back to Nazareth, they gave him the chance to speak. And he stood up and read from the prophet Isaiah, a passage that was a prophecy about someone, we don't know who. Not even Isaiah knew who that person would be. Someone who says, I am the one, anointed by God, sent to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim freedom and life and holiness. And then Jesus gave the shortest homily ever, 9 words. And he said, today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. The shortest homily ever. Well, don't get your hopes too high, okay? I'm not that good. You know, Winston Churchill said that a good speech should be like the skirt of a woman, long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to keep the interest alive. So Jesus gave the shortest homily and said, I am he. I am the one that this prophecy is talking about. The one who is anointed. The one who came to bring good news, to proclaim freedom, life, joy again. And you know what? This same liturgy of the word that was celebrated by Ezra and Nehemiah, and that Jesus fulfilled in the synagogue of Nazareth, the same liturgy of the word we celebrate every Mass. The first part of the Mass, every Sunday, every day, is called the liturgy of the word. We spend more than half of the Mass focusing on the word of God. And yet I hear that criticism oftentimes. Catholics do not read the Bible. Where have you been so far? That's all we do. Most of Mass is about reading from Holy Scripture. We read from the Old Testament today, the book of Nehemiah. We read from the book of Psalms. We sing the Psalms. We read from the New Testament. Today we had a long reading from the first letter to the Corinthians. And then from the Gospel. And then we meditate. And then we respond to that with our profession of faith. And moved by the word, we come out with prayers, our petitions. All of this is called the liturgy of the word. But yes, it is said that we do not value the word of God enough. We should really take the word of God to heart. Oftentimes, I confess, if I'm not celebrating Mass, and I'm sitting down there during the liturgy of the word, my mind wanders. I get lost sometimes. I do not focus on the word. I do not treasure. And you know what is said, even sadder? Is the fact that today the word of God is fulfilled. This very simple word that Jesus pronounces today is so powerful. Not yesterday, not last year, not yet next year, today. Today the word of God is effective. Today the word of God, if you allow it to take roots in you, will bring forth fruit. Will be fruitful today. If we allow that word really to reach us deep inside, then we are transformed into the body of Christ, as Paul says in today's second reading. We become the body of Christ. We become those who are in different ways, with different gifts, those who continue Christ's mission today. Let me tell you a little story about a community, a Catholic community, who used to gather in a gym to celebrate Mass. There was no Catholic church nearby. And so they started celebrating in a gym. They were very active. They were very inspired. They were moved by the word of God. And with that enthusiasm, they began to plan. Let's work together. Let's build a parish. Let's build a church. They worked hard. They did all kinds of fundraisings. They reached out to newcomers and so forth. And years later, they were finally able to build their own church. It was simple, but beautiful. And they were so proud because they had done it. It did not come down from the sky. So finally, they set the date for the inauguration. And they invited the bishop to come and bless the altar. The last final touch, the last detail of that church was the crucifix. And so they brought over a nice crucifix from Ortise. Ortise is a northern town in Italy where they do wood carving that is top of the world. And they brought this beautiful crucifix and they were hanging it on top of the altar, sort of our risen Christ here. But then something went wrong and it fell. And that beautiful statue was maimed. The hands broke off. What to do now? Okay, well, let's take it down. The priest said, no, leave it. The following day, when the bishop came, he admired the church, the building, and said, you did a wonderful job. You worked hard. Congratulations, you did really a marvelous job here. But what I like the most about this church is the crucifix you chose. They looked at him. You probably need new glasses, Bishop. He said, I like the fact that Christ has no hands. It really proves that you are Christ's hands. You built this place. You did it. Christ is working through you. You are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We come together. We are different. The hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The eyes cannot say to the ears, we don't need you. We all need each other, different as we are. But we together form the body of Christ. We can rebuild the church, not just the walls, not just the roof. We can rebuild the soul of the church, the identity of the church, if we only let the Word of God move us. If we let the Word of God push us forward. I believe that this is what we are trying to do here at Resurrection. The celebration we are going to have in a couple of weeks has exactly this purpose: to acknowledge that we have many talents, many gifts, that we are different, but we all form the body of Christ. But yes, we need to focus most of all on what makes us one, which is Jesus Christ, proclaiming the Word of God. He is the Word of God, and He tells us today the Word of God is fulfilled in your hearing. Let us therefore be open to the grace and strength and dynamis that come from the Word of God if we receive it with the same enthusiasm that the people of Israel received the proclamation of the Word of God on that day 500 years before Christ. Or if we imitate the people of Nazareth in the synagogue as they welcomed Jesus, who told them, I am He, I am the one you've been waiting for. I bring good news. I bring life, freedom, holiness. Amen.